You're listening to audio from Grace Community Church in Anger, North Carolina. More information about Grace Community Church can be found at graceccnc.org.
Thank you, Tristan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ricky. I serve as one of the pastors here at Grace. Thank you to the Nichols family. I think they were all in first service, so I think they probably exited out. That was beautiful, whatever Jesse read. I kind of missed that at first service. That was distracted, but that was beautiful to hear what they all said. But I'm curious to know what book Jesse was reading from there, if that was a book. So beautiful. So this is the Advent season. Here we go. The first Sunday, hope. This first Sunday, the theme of hope, and then we'll have a different theme leading all the way up until the Sunday before Christmas. Pastor Brad will be returning to the pulpit next week, so I have the privilege of preaching the first sermon of this Advent season. But our text this morning is going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And the sermon this morning is titled, To the Praise of His Glory. So I was going to try to tie in a lot more about hope and stuff, but I'm so glad we have the candle that really ties that in there, reading and stuff. Because the more I read this text, and the more I studied it, and just kind of subjected myself to it this week, and I was like, man, it kind of shaped up more to be Thanksgiving. You'll see a few places in this text, you will see the words to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is very fitting too, because we just, you know, in the States here, celebrated Thanksgiving. So, and we do this every Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we'll do it again the Sunday after Christmas. We have a time of testimonies for you to give Thanksgiving. So the sermon this morning is going to be a bit shorter than what you normally experience at Grace, because we want to give time for you all to be able to share a word of testimony. So be thinking, is there anything the Lord would have you share this morning that testifies to his work in your life over this past year, and something that would be edifying to all of us by sharing that? So you'll have opportunity to do so here in just a bit. So considering our time this morning, I'm going to just read to us the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be covering, again, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, but I'll read the first three verses, and then we'll just make our way through the rest of it verse by verse. But as is our custom at Grace, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you'll join me by standing and hearing the word of the Lord read for these first three verses this morning. Hear the word of the Lord, Ephesians 1, 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So you're going to see to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glory throughout this text. But another thing you're going to see a lot of is in Christ. So be prepared for that one too. That's all throughout. Man, Paul's quite the letter writer. I wish I had his affection, his articulation. He has quite a letter he's written to the Ephesians here. Verse 3. Wow. Verse 3 is something. I love verse 3. We could spend a while on verse 3, and it's going to be our jumping off point this morning, in which we will come back to at the end as well. I love verse 3. It really tells us something about the Lord. But first, let me ask you a question. Have you ever bought someone a gift knowing that you would also receive benefit from that gift? Because that's kind of where Paul's going with verse 3 here. I know I've done that. Maybe you don't have to raise your hand, but if you raised your hand already, then you're honest. We could all raise our hand. I remember when I was a child, we had a cousin who was old enough to drive. So he took us all the places maybe our parents wouldn't want us to go. And it was Mother's Day. And my brother and I have a twin brother. His name's Mark. He's preaching this morning at his church from Alabama. Roll Tide, if you watched the game last night. Up way too late. Back to the story. My cousin was like, I'll take you and your brother, you and Mark, wherever you want to go to get your mom a Mother's Day present. We thought, well, we know exactly what she would want. We bought our mother a dog for Mother's Day. A gift that was really for us. If my mom were to make a list of 500 things she wanted, probably 1,000 things she wanted for Mother's Day. I can guarantee a puppy would not have been on that list. But that's what she got. You know, it was one of those deals. We had it for about a month. And it was like, well, it went to live on a farm, you know, somewhere, I guess, apparently. So. Maybe your dad's bought you a go-kart, but he was the first one to ride it. Have you done that? Jen, maybe four-wheeler or something. You know, the dad, they buy a video game for their child, but yet the dad plays it more than the child. We know mom, she will take everyone out to eat for dinner. Quite a gift, but really we know she doesn't have to cook now. We have these mixed motives we can have whenever it comes to gift giving. I know I can. But Paul's saying here, God's the perfect gift giver. For us, we have these motives sometimes. We give, we also receive from it. Is it okay? Is it honest? I don't know. But in verse 3, we're going to see here, Paul is saying that God is the perfect gift giver. Even though he benefits from the gift, he gives. When he gives, it is done with a perfect purpose. And this is what I don't want you to miss this morning. We bless God because he has first blessed us. And that's okay. That's the design. Because God is the perfect gift giver. And he blesses us so that we will bless him. It's the way it's supposed to be. Paul's making that clear in verse 3. When was the last time you gave specific thanks to God for a specific provision he made for you? He has blessed you, as we'll see in our text this morning. Why? The title of the sermon, you're going to see it throughout, to the praise of his glory. And Paul is saying, look at what God has given us, so let's bless him. Paul's saying, don't you want to thank someone? Because I do. And you're going to have opportunity at the end of the service to do just that, to thank the Lord. The one to thank is exactly him, the Lord. He's the one to thank. Verse 3 literally says, blessworthy. Blessworthy is our Father. In verse 2, Paul told us that God is our Father. And in verse 3, he's telling us that God is also Jesus' Father. It's quite a family we're a part of here. This past Thursday, you may not have had a father around the Thanksgiving table. That may have brought about some unwelcome emotions. You may not have had a brother around the table this past Thanksgiving. But one thing is clear. Paul lets us know that a child of God is never without the presence of God, his Father. And never without the benefits of Christ, the Son. It's quite a family you're a part of. If you're a child of God, then I don't want you to miss the blessings the Father has given you. And Paul doesn't want us to miss it either. I've been reading a book this Advent season. I know it's really just beginning today, I think, but I'm about 10 days in. I got an early jump. I'm reading a book called Winter Fire by G.K. Chesterton. This quote's not in that book, but it's kind of turned me on to, you know, investigating some of G.K. Chesterton. Now I'm enjoying this book a lot. It's a beautiful book, too. I love beautiful books. He said this somewhere else, not in the book. He said, the worst part for the atheist is when he is really thankful and has no one to thank. I'll say that again. The worst part for the atheist is when he is really thankful and has no one to thank. It's intriguing. But that's not you. You have someone to thank. God, who has blessed you. He is blessworthy. Why? To the praise of his glory. That's why. So tell him thank you, as you have opportunity to do in just a bit. I imagine most of you in your homes over the past few days, you've probably made a bit of a transition. If not, you probably should go home and do so today. You transition the focus from the table to the tree. You turn the dial on the radio. Well, you guys don't have radios anymore. I love listening to radio. You find the new Spotify playlist or whatever you listen to. Pandora, it's free. I like Pandora. You'd make this focus, this transition in your home from the table to the tree. You maybe took the leaf out, you stored it away, and you've slid the couches over, and you moved the coffee table where it goes for this 1 month of the year, and you're making room, making space for a tree. And maybe for some of you, there's already a present or two under the tree. The clock has started. 25 days until you have access to that gift that is for you, that's under the tree. Paul, he's saying, it's time to stand up and follow me. We're going out of the kitchen into the living room. Not to watch football, but he's taking us to see the tree. And not just the tree, but what's under the tree. He wants us to see the gifts that are ours. That's what we're going to look at this morning. If you are so fortunate to have a gift or two already under the tree at home, there's a barrier. It's quite the barrier. It's just a little thin piece of paper. But it's still a barrier that prevents you from having access to the gift that you know will be yours. But that's not the case with God. There's no barrier. You don't have to wait to begin experiencing the gifts God has for you. You can begin experiencing them to some extent already because he's given them to those who are his. Those who are his saints, as we saw in verse 1. He's giving them already. They're not hidden behind bows and ribbons, but they're accessible now to those who are his saints and those who are faithful, those who completely trust him, as we see in verse 1. Our blessings are spiritual. They're spiritual. And while they're in the heavenly places, we don't have to wait until December 25th. And we don't have to wait until heaven before we can begin enjoying them. We may have to wait until we get the full benefit of those gifts. I mean, we know if you receive the mittens right now, I bought a pair of mittens this past week because my hands are always cold. Just a bit ago, I was back there blowing into my hands, and right now my hands are freezing. I would be preaching in mittens if you guys didn't think I was crazy for preaching in mittens. It's not a temperature thing, it's a hand thing. I'm just always cold. I received these mittens, but I haven't got to try them out yet in the winter snow. I hope I get to. Most of you hope I don't, because you hope for no snow. I hope I get to try them out, but I don't have to wait until the snow comes to begin enjoying these mittens, but I get to start enjoying their benefit and the warmth that they provide even now. The spiritual blessings that are ours, they may not be fully experienced until we're in heaven. Free of our sinful bodies in this sinful world. And while it's not time for us yet to go to him, Paul makes it clear he has come to us. And we're reminded that, oh, so much this season. And we can begin enjoying the spiritual blessings he brought, even now. If you're a child of God, if you're his faithful saint, and I pray that every one of you are, then you have received blessings in Christ from your Father in heaven. Why? To the praise of his glory. Paul, he's led us from the table. Come on, follow me into the living room. And he's directing our attention down under the tree on this first Sunday of Advent. No matter your age, no matter where you're coming from, who you're with, who's around, he's saying, I want you to look at the blessings that are yours, unwrapped, that are yours in Christ from your Father in heaven. Why? To the praise of his glory. Let's look at verses 4 and 6. 4 through 6. Verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, some of you, whenever you read that, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Don't think of that grandma sweater she knitted that you open up. Thanks a lot. But for those of us who know that we're not holy and blameless, this is a wonderful gift. A wonderful gift. We couldn't think of anything more to ask for better than that. Back to it, I've gotten distracted. Verse 4, let me start over. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. This is the first gift Paul's kind of holding up for us to see here. It's quite the gift. Needless to say, batteries are included here. Everything you should need. This is quite the list, the contents here that we have. This is a glorious gift, and it is so glorious, you may have a hard time believing that it's actually yours. You might be very aware you don't deserve such a gift. Can it really be for me? You might ask. Maybe this morning your mind keeps going to who you are not. That gift's for those That gift can't be for me. Maybe this past week you weren't chosen to be invited into a home. Maybe you weren't chosen to be a part of a family. Maybe you weren't chosen to join the friend group. Maybe this has just been this season a big reminder of all of your imperfections. Your imperfect decisions, your imperfect words, all of your imperfections. And you know that you deserve the consequences because, well, they are what they are. And you have to live with the consequences of your imperfections. Some of you are very aware of that. You may be living in these consequences. And maybe you're daring to look up at God. You're a little timid and you're just hoping that when you look up to him, that he will extend an invitation to you. Maybe there is something for you under the tree. Maybe there is a chance for you to be a part of this family. If that is you, if you are hoping, if you are wanting, then I have good news for you because Paul is picking up the gift and he's holding it before us and he's saying, take a look at this gift that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Wow. That gift, that's a big gift. I understand some of you, maybe when you read verses 4 and 5, it may make you shift a little bit because these can be some difficult verses for some. But let me tell you, they're not difficult verses for those of us who know that we haven't lived a life worthy enough to be chosen by God. It's not difficult verses. They aren't difficult verses if you are all too aware of the blame that you deserve because of your decisions, because of your words, and because of your choices. Some object to the ideas in verses 4 and 5, saying that God's choosing and his predetermining, it undermines evangelism. Well, if that's the case, Paul sure didn't feel that way. Clearly, he lays out these glorious truths in the first four chapters in Ephesians, and he just hammers them, then what to do with it now? There's plenty to do. Paul didn't feel that it undermines evangelism. Neither does this church, neither do I, as I'm going to unapologetically ask that you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. Maybe you're looking up and you're asking, has God chosen me? Could this be for me? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you desire him? Do you desire to be a part of his family? Do you desire to be chosen by God? Do you desire to be holy before God? Do you mourn your sin and your inability to be blameless before God? Hear me, the consequences of your sin and your choices, your decisions, that may have kept you away from some family and friends. It may do so even this season. But they cannot keep you away from God if he has put it in your heart to believe this good news of your salvation, which we're going to talk about more in just a bit when we get to verse 13. John records in his gospel, Jesus saying, chapter 6, verse 37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Hear me, God doesn't rescind his invites. A sovereign God is good news. Good news. You can trust him. And if you do trust him, then receive this gift because it's for you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. God has adopted you. Gift number one. God has adopted you. Blessing number one. Why has he adopted you? I think you already know the answer. God has adopted you. God predestined, which simply means he predetermined that he would adopt you as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. God predetermined that his chosen would be his sons. Back in ancient times, the firstborn, they always received all of the inheritance. I'm sure there's some in your living room in 25 days who might be a little comparison game going on. But you got to see me add up. They spent, but maybe they got it on sale that kind of made, what? There's a comparison going on here. But there's no discrimination of gift giving. No discrimination of status whenever it comes to God's chosen. All his chosen, whether male or female, black or white, 100 years old or 10 years old, all will receive a son's inheritance. Everyone. Maybe you've received before a gift that is so ludicrous compared to others. It's a bit much. Maybe that's been you, and you just respond with a, "For me? Is this for me?" That's how God's chosen all inevitably will respond, with a respectful and with an honest, "Why me?" Not because of anything you have done, but to the praise of his glorious grace. Verse 6, it was predestined that you be chosen, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Huh? There's Paul. He's now transitioned. He's put this gift back down and he's picked up a new one. Let's look at verses 7 through 10. In him we have redemption through his blood. Who? Look back, the beloved. The forgiveness of our trespasses. Some of you, this might be like that holy and blameless. You're like, well, I was kind of hoping for the boat or the whatever it be. This is what you want. The forgiveness of our trespasses. This is for you. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So gift one, Paul's led us from the table to the trees, picked up. God the Father has adopted you. The second, Jesus has redeemed you. Now in the Greek, this is all one big old sentence. Verses 3 through 14. One big sentence. And if you were to look through this, maybe you ought to do it in home group, look through, and you were to look at all the times in Christ, through Christ, you're going to come up with 11 times. I read 9, I read 11, I counted myself, I counted 9. The more I counted 11, so I found 11. If you need them, found them. In Christ, or through Christ, the blessing of redemption that we have been given by God is only given because it was purchased for us in and through Christ. I love what Paul calls him, the beloved. God is perfect. He's perfect. And therefore, because he's perfect, he cannot let sin exist. What kind of perfect God would let sin exist? He would no longer be perfect. If he just let sin exist, it must be punished because he's perfect. So in Christ, God provided redemption from our sins by paying the penalty of our sins through Jesus' blood for the forgiveness of our sins. I'll say that again. So in Christ, God provided redemption from our sins by paying the penalty of our sins through Jesus' blood for the forgiveness of our sins. The gift of redemption, this is one that had to be paid for. This isn't a re-gift. This wasn't like a gift that was costless, but this was a costly gift. It required sacrifice, the shed blood of Jesus, that he would pay the penalty of our sins. And God decided that he would pay the penalty for the sins of the chosen. Before the foundation of the world, it was decided. Talking about getting an early gift, what am I looking for? Shopping or whatever. Early jump on Christmas shopping. That's it. I heard this past week of someone who started last year. They're always like a year ahead. You still don't have God beat. We read here, before the foundation of the world, this was his plan. You don't have a list that old. God predetermined your gift of redemption in Jesus before the foundation of the world. That's how much you mean to him. And there's no gift receipt needed. Paul tells us that Jesus' redemption for our sins through the blood of Jesus was God's plan for the fullness of time. No backup needed, no gift receipt, no exchange. Jesus did not fall short. This gift will not disappoint. No returns. This was the plan. This past Thursday, I was at my wife's house, her parents' house down in Florence, South Carolina, and made my plate. I got a picture of my plate. I mentioned that during first service. A couple kids didn't believe me. I was like, you think I'd lie about that? I have a video of all the food we ate. I'm sure you do too, many of you. So, got my plate. And I went and I sat down, started to sit down. I didn't quite sit down. Started to sit down and then realized, whoa, wait. I got the gravy. So I went back over to the gravy. We know there's always gravy. It's made for the stuffing and it's made for the mashed potatoes. So I go back. It's next to the mashed potatoes and the stuffing. And I started to ladle it out and it was taking too long. So I grabbed it and I just started to pour it. It was one of those Pyrex things, you know, and just start pouring the gravy. I poured it on the mashed potatoes and the dressing, but you know, I just pour a little. I just kept pouring, and we just kind of spread it around until the gravy is touching every part of the plate. Paul's telling us that God's riches of grace, they weren't just enough to cover the most tolerable areas of our life, cutting it close. No. He has lavished on us the riches of his grace. It can touch every part of your life. There's always plenty of gravy. Just keep pouring. It touches every part. I've heard the word grace explained through an acronym before. God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that. God's riches. There's plenty. Just keep pouring. At Christ's expense. There's forgiveness for all our sins and more. And more. Look, you're given wisdom and insight to know the mystery of his will, right there in verses 9 and 10. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. Man, God has put you in the know that you can know the mystery of his will. I can imagine this past week there were some tables that were divided. Even though they may have been around the same table, there was some division because of some secrets that are at the table. But Paul's letting us know this family secret is not one that divides. This is a secret that actually unites the family, making known to us the mystery of his will. In Christ, God began his plan of redemption. Says the mystery began his plan of redemption, and in his time we will one day live peaceably with God and with one another. That's what he's doing. That's it. No more sin dividing us, no more sin separating us in God, no more rebellion dividing and separating us. We will one day peaceably live in unity under the reign of Christ. That's the mystery that he lets known to us to unite us, beginning now. Verses 11 and 12. In him, so much in him. Oh, I love it. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. There it is again. Some of you might be hearing these words this morning for the first time. These words of chosen and predestination. I mean, we can't just skip them. They're right there. We got to do something with them. And oh my, they're really good words. I don't want these words to scare you. They're in the Bible. God's a sovereign God. And as mentioned earlier, that's always a good. Some of you might hear this news and you're wondering, as I mentioned earlier, why me? Some of you might be saying, why me and not them? And we all know there are some secrets at the table. for the good. It probably should remain a secret. Not everyone at the table this past Thursday knows the combination to the family safe. Probably a good thing. Not everyone at the table this past Thursday knows the contents of the will. Probably a good thing. Now, one day, maybe all will be known and can be known. But not yet. Not everyone's ready for that knowledge. God, too, has some things he hasn't shared with us. As Pastor Brad often reminds us, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So we must be careful. We must be careful not to put ourselves in judgment, not to try to flip the script, to put ourselves in judgment over God as to why he chooses some to be his children and not others. Because here's the truth. None of us deserve to be his children. Why did he choose any? That's my question. Because none of us deserve to be chosen to be his children. We all deserve to go to hell for our rebellion against God. I do. No one's righteous. Not one. Only those who hope in Christ are righteous because his blood has cleansed them from all sin. Past, present, future. So don't get hung up on these words if they're new to you. Investigate them. They're glorious words. And I trust as you do, you will be encouraged to say, thank you. Me? Why me? Thank you. And then you'll be urged to go tell others about this gift. We must trust God, and we have the privilege of trusting God. Not everyone, especially kids, understand that. They want to know why they can't know. But we all know as adults, boy, sure was nice to be a kid and to not have to know and not know everything, but to be able to trust and sit under the loving care and protection of a father that knows best. Paul hasn't brought us from the table, got us up, and led us into the living room to take a look under the tree just so that we could stand up, poke our chest out, and tell why the gifts are unfair. No, he's showing us the blessings that belong to those who hope in Christ. Do you hope in Christ? These are for you. God has adopted you. This gift's for you. Do you hope in Christ? Jesus has redeemed you. This blessing's for you. Why? Well, for the praise of his glory is why. Let's look at verses 13 and 14, our last two verses. In him, there it is again. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Why? To the praise of his glory. Have you heard the gospel? If not, you've heard the gospel this morning. If you come to Grace every week, you have heard the gospel. Have you believed the gospel? If not, you have opportunity this morning to believe the gospel, the good news that Jesus has taken the punishment you deserve for your sin so that you can be united to him. Man, this is great news. Do you believe it? Oh, I pray that you do. If you choose to believe this morning, then you are one he has chosen, and I want you to come talk to me. I want you to talk to someone who brought you, someone you know, someone you've seen on stage, so that we can talk about these new gifts that are yours. If you hope in Christ, then you have been blessed with in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even if there's nothing under the tree for you this Christmas, right here there is plenty for those who are children of God. You have been chosen by God before the foundation of the world so that you should be holy and blameless before him, for you. He predetermined your adoption because he wants to for the praise of his glorious grace. And he has redeemed you through Jesus, lavishing on you with the riches of his glorious grace so that you will know what his plan is and has been, that is to unite all things under his rule, giving you an inheritance, a son's inheritance, because he wants to the praise of his glorious grace. If you're hearing that this morning, this glorious truth is good news. And I pray you believe it. And if so, then gift number three, the blessing of the Holy Spirit that has sealed you. He is the guarantee of your inheritance, the deposit of your inheritance until you acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So what blessings do you have from God? One more time. God has adopted you. Jesus has redeemed you. And the Holy Spirit has sealed you. Years ago, probably 20 years ago, I bought some bags, travel bags. We used to have to travel a lot for a previous job and lived at camp. And we bought some bags. And I bought these bags because it was known they have a lifetime warranty. This company has a lifetime warranty on all their products. And I was told about this lifetime warranty in the store, and I bought these bags and thought, well, okay, after they wear out, I just bring them back and get another one? Yeah, okay, all right, done. I'm buying these bags. Well, about 10 years passed, and as they would, they started to wear out. So about 5 years ago, I grabbed these bags, a few of the bags, and I took them back to the store where I was sold on the guarantee that I could one day bring them back if they ever wore out. Took them back so I could get new bags. You think I got new bags? I'm going to cash in on that guarantee, but it wasn't honored. There's no question, though, about God's adoption in Jesus' redemption. They will be upheld. Jesus said, "It is finished," and those who hear and believe in him are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So back where we began. Verse 3, here's our application. We are to bless God because he first blessed us. I hope now you see at least three ways he has blessed you. And man, these boxes are filled with a lot of contents that go along with each one. Paul's led us from the table to the tree, and he has told us, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." God is blessworthy, so bless him this morning for the blessings that he has given you. You'll have opportunity to do so in just a moment. The blessing of the Father, that God has adopted you. The blessing of the Son, that Jesus has redeemed you. Why? God has adopted you, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. Why has Jesus redeemed you? Verse 12, to the praise of his glory. And then the blessing of the Holy Spirit that he has sealed you. Why? Verse 14, to the praise of his glory. We're going to pray. And after I pray, it's going to be time for you. You have opportunity to bless God because he has first blessed you. Why? Well, of course, to the praise of his glory. So if you'll join me in prayer, and then we'll have a time of testimonies. Father, thank you for your word, that we can know you. You have revealed yourself to us in Jesus. You have sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this church. Father, we thank you for all the blessings you have given us. And no doubt are for our good, but Lord, for our good, because it's for your glory. And we give you thanks for all the blessings in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.